Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Word of God for our study this morning is Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 3. And why don't we take a moment to read through that text together? Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. This is God's word. You know, today, you can find an online quiz to measure just about anything in your life that you'd want to measure, from personality profiles to IQ tests. You can even gauge your LQ, your love quotient. Since God commands hospitality in this text, I was curious to know just how hospitable I actually am. So I decided to take an online quiz, right? What better way to find out about myself? So the first quiz I took asked the type of questions that you'd expect. How often do you invite people over to your home? Do you make a sumptuous meal or just serve soup and salad? How do you feel about uninvited guests? And how long do you think guests should stay? Now in my mind, and I think this is probably true for most people, when we think of hospitality, we really think of how well we treat the guests that we have over. And most of these are going to be family and friends, coworkers, acquaintances, people that we know, people we're comfortable with, people that we like most of the time. By the way, I came out as extremely hospitable on the quiz. Obviously, it was a well-written assessment. And since the first quiz went so well, I decided to take another. Only this quiz asked some very different questions. Questions like, if a person you didn't know were to show up at your house on a freezing cold night, would you let them stay? Or how about this? Do you judge people based on how they look? How empathetic are you? Do you assume the best or the worst in other people? Have you been known to stop and help others on the side of the road? And what is the biggest priority in life? Friends, family, career, knowledge, or love? Now, these questions made me stop and think a little. What really is hospitality? Do I have the right idea? Or more importantly, what is God's definition of hospitality? You know, the first thing that caught my attention in this text is the fact that we are called to show hospitality to strangers, that we are encouraged to remember those who are in prison and those who are suffering or mistreated. Now, aren't the kind of people who bake cakes for prisoners also the kind of people who put sharp objects in them? Well, that's right, I'm not supposed to assume the worst about people, right? Does God really expect me to invite someone to dinner I don't even know? Well, I decided to take a closer look at this word hospitality. How about a dictionary? Well, people don't have dictionaries anymore, but as I looked at it, I realized that hospitality comes from the same word family, as hospital and hospice. And I was like, duh, yeah, I can see that. But really? The same word family? I mean, a hospital is a place where sick people go in order to find healing, right? A hospice is a place where really sick people go to die. What does that have in common with hospitality? Well, I thought about it a bit. You want to know my theory? My theory is that in a culture that once was highly influenced by the Bible, people founded hospitals and hospices to show hospitality to people in need, to even to strangers. Because the biblical idea of hospitality has a lot more to do with people's needs than it does with the type of table setting that I decide to use. So, how hospitable are we in the true biblical sense of the word? As we bring our Family Church 2.0 series to a close today, let's take an honest look at our families and our homes and ask ourselves whether they are serving as hospitals and hospices, showing true biblical hospitality to our dying world. The text begins with the exhortation to keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Now, one another here is all of us. It is our fellow believers, the spiritual family that we are in. The love that's referenced here is phileo. This is the kind of love that shows deep and honest concern for the welfare of the people that we love, that are a part of our family. As Christians, this love flows for each other naturally. I mean, that's why it says keep on loving. That love is there. We just need to make sure that nothing distracts us from it. Which, if we think about it, is very easy, isn't it? Because we always struggle with this sinful nature, and so we are always going to need these kinds of reminders. I mean, think about it. If we need a friendly reminder to love the people, show love to people that we already love, what's it going to be like when it comes to people we don't know or we don't love? That's where hospitality comes in. You know, God began to teach his people about the concept and importance of hospitality way back. And I think probably the clearest reminders in Leviticus 19, verses 33 to 44, where he says, when a foreigner, you know, someone from a different country, maybe different skin color, different language, different beliefs, worldviews, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. And here's the big why. For you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. God's Old Testament people were once foreigners and strangers in Egypt. God had compassion on them, and he rescued them from their slavery and brought them into a beautiful and fruitful land. God reached out to them, and he fulfilled all of their needs, physical, emotional, spiritual. And that's God's definition of hospitality. And it only makes sense, then, that out of grateful hearts, God's people would show the same grace, the same hospitality to others that God has shown to them. Well, it makes sense to the new spirit-filled nature in us, at least. The old nature still has a few questions, right? Like, why would I want to hang out with people I don't even like? With people who are very different from me, the people that make me uncomfortable. What would I get from that? Well, did God choose to rescue the Israelites because he had something to gain from building a relationship with them? Read the book. You'll find out that God's Old Testament people were nothing but a pain in God's backside. Hospitality is grace, undeserved love, the generosity that God displays when he helps us out, not because of some goodness in us, but because of his gigantic heart. Jesus displayed the ultimate act of hospitality when he died on a cross. Not just for friends and family, people that he liked, but for you, for me, for everyone, for people like us who find a million ways to disgrace him and break his heart. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is why, as if one thought flows right into another, the writer of the Hebrews immediately goes on to call us to not to forget to also show hospitality to strangers. And he uses the same phileo, the same word there. Literally, he's saying, love strangers the same way that you love your brothers and sisters. And not just penning them into your calendar every now and then, but that showing love to strangers is a way of life for the Spirit-filled Christian. Why? Because that's who we are. Why? Because God has shown us the ultimate hospitality. Why? Because God is love, and we, his children, are being renewed in his image. 1 Peter 4:9 and 10 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Interesting, isn't it? And when Peter calls us to offer hospitality, he says, do it without grumbling. Well, why would he have to say that? I think Peter recognizes that hospitality can come with a pretty high price tag. In order for us to be ready to show genuine hospitality at any and all times, we're also going to need to become faithful stewards of two of the most important yet most fiercely guarded resources that we have. That is our time and our money. Rosaria Butterfield makes this point really well in her book entitled The Gospel Comes with a House Key. Rosaria has a fascinating story. She spent a great deal of her life defending a liberal, a atheist, and pro-homosexual worldview until she fell in love with Jesus Christ. Through the unconditional and unrelenting hospitality of a pastor and his wife. You see, Rosaria even admits the first time that this pastor invited her over to his house for dinner, she thought to herself, it's a reconnaissance mission. I'm going to study the enemy. But as she was invited again and again, she slowly began to see that the real enemy was the hate that lived inside of her, and that her helper was Jesus. Rosaria is now married to a pastor, a Christian pastor, and the two of them have made a habit out of opening up their home to complete strangers, even if it is necessary, inviting them to live with them for extended periods of time, actually, literally, handing them a house key. Thus the name, the gospel comes with a house key. Now, we think that's absolutely crazy, right? And yet, the stories of what God has done through their unrelenting display of hospitality are nothing short of miraculous. Now, Rosaria is quick to point out that it hasn't always been easy, that she's had her moments of doubts and misgivings. I mean, preparing meals for groups of people nearly every day, it begins to impact your life, your budget, right? Money that they could use for things and activities that the many other families get to enjoy, and yet they choose to forfeit. Taking the time to prepare these meals, listening to people's stories, changing and laundering the bedding, this takes time, right? Time is one thing that we just don't ever have enough of. Because of hospitality's high price tag, Rosaria says the temptation is always there to let fear take over and to let opportunities pass by. Satan knows the power of godly hospitality and strives with all his cunning and craftiness to turn our hearts and our minds from it. To be honest, as I read through Azaria's book, my heart was convicted. My family and I, we pray on a regular basis for people who don't know Jesus, and we see ourselves as strong supporters of mission work. Yet how many opportunities are we missing because we're so busy running from one activity to the next in our lives that we don't have the time or the energy or the money to invest in the people that God has put right in front of us? I think all too often we're distracted in life by our dreams for our lives, and we fail to see and to live God's dream for us. Azaria makes an incredibly important point. And if we take anything home today, I think this should be it. And that is this, that it's important that we build margins into our lives. In other words, that we make sure that there are open spaces on our calendars every day, every week, that we have cushion in our budgets so that when opportunities arise, we are free to be able to follow up on those opportunities. And I guess that leaves a question for many of us to consider this week. You know, what would have to change? What would I have to do different to have these kinds of margins, to have this kind of cushion in my life? I believe that this kind of cushion is God's dream for our lives because it is in that space that God is able to use us to do his work of bringing people closer to him. And that's what hospitality is finally all about. Our text says that some have unknowingly shown hospitality to angels. That's probably a reference to Abraham and Lot and the angelic visitors that came to them. And I am just astounded, you know, when we read about Abraham's hospitality, butchering a calf and preparing it, baking bread from scratch. It must have taken hours, right? But I think the point that the author is making here is not that we want to show hospitality in the hopes that maybe we get to come face to face with an angel someday. Rather, he's saying that we don't always know how important and far-reaching a simple act of kindness may be. By being open to displaying hospitality, we are really making ourselves open to be used by God. In her book, Rosaria talks quite a bit about her mother and about atheists, even on her deathbed. Rosaria said that her mother was the type of person who was very harsh, cruel, and critical, and that she became especially harsh and critical toward Rosaria when she became a Christian. Her mother told her once that, Rosaria, you became a Christian because you are weak. I am strong. One day, Rosaria found out that her mother had a terminal illness. She was going into hospice. She knew in her mind what she needed to do. She needed to be there for her mother, but just the thought of subjecting herself to that kind of abuse caused her to shake. But she did it. She cleared her calendar for several weeks. She packed up her knitting and some books, and she moved into the hospice room with her mother. Right from the start, her mother made it clear, Rosaria, you're going to let me die on my own terms. In the long days, Rosaria just did what she normally did. She read the Bible. She sang some psalms. She prayed out loud. And then one day, she was singing the 23rd Psalm. Her mother stopped her. She looked up at her and she said, Rosaria, I now realize that I am weak. Tell me more about this shepherd who makes you strong. This is where hospital And hospitality and hospice interconnect. We have a world that is full of people who are sick and are hurting. They cannot heal themselves. Only God can heal them. And God has chosen to use his church as the instrument to bring that healing. And not just pastors and teachers, but anyone and everyone whose life has been touched by the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes as Christians, we seem to tend to hang out with other Christians. And that kind of makes sense, right? Because we have a lot in common. We feel comfortable with each other. And we ought to support and encourage each other. That's how this text started, right? But Jesus died to bring all people back into God's family. God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That means that hospitality is especially important when there are people in our lives who are far from Christ. Our text concludes, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. You know, it's so easy for us to view people who have had run-ins with the law or who hold diverse worldviews or who are anti-Christian as cold and harsh and the enemy. But we don't really know their hearts, do we? Can't tell you how many times I sat across from someone in a counseling situation, and in the first couple minutes I think, oh, yeah, I got this person pegged. I know this person. And then they share their story, how they've been hurt, the injustices they've experienced, how suffering has colored their worldview and obscured their view of God and Jesus. God calls us to be people who, more than anything, who listen to other people's stories, who empathize with them, who tell them, communicate to them that we love them, that God loves them no matter what. Inviting them into this beautiful, safe place with God that we have this awesome privilege to enjoy. That, my friends, is what it means to show true biblical hospitality. Now, we can't do that, can we? Unless we make an effort to spend time with them and to invest in their lives. So, I'm going to give you some homework this week, and that is to show hospitality this week like you've never done before. I challenge you to show love to a complete stranger, somehow, some way. Pray that God open your eyes to someone in need, someone that you can be a friend to, you can listen to, that you can support in whatever way that he or she needs that support. If you remember last year, we introduced this idea of rocks, right? Random acts of worship kindness. We encouraged God's families to go out and show love to the people around them in need. And you took on that challenge. And the stories that came back to us of what God did through you are incredible. Stories like Josh's story. Josh is a 20-something who accepted one of these rocks envelopes last year. And he took it home, and he continued to contribute to it every week, just waiting to see what kind of opportunity God would place in front of him. And then it came. A coworker, a mother of three teenagers, was suddenly forced to separate from her husband because of his illegal drugs habits and the danger that it posed for her family. On Christmas Eve, Josh wrote a note and he included several encouraging Bible passages, and he placed several $100 into an envelope and he gave it to this woman. What happened? I'm going to share in Josh's own words. Josh says, she opened the card, came up to me with tears in her eyes, and thanked me so much for this completely unexpected gift. Later, I received a card from her thanking me again for the gift and the impact it made on her and her family. She said that she keeps the card on her refrigerator and continues to routinely read the passages. Included with her card was a generous gift of money. She asked me to donate her gift, pay it forward, because she wants someone else to experience that feeling of kindness. Once again today, we'd like to support you, encourage you in displaying biblical hospitality by offering to give you one of these rocks envelopes. It has a certain amount of money in it, but it's really seed money to help you help someone else. The money comes from generous gifts that you, God's people, have given to people who might be in need, and so it seemed like a fitting use of a portion of those gifts. So if you are interested in growing in your hospitality by actually practicing it, then you're invited in a few moments just to come forward and to receive one of these envelopes. And again, we'd love to hear your story of how God uses you, and not just if you take an envelope, but all of us, right? As we strive with the Spirit's help to show true, radical, biblical hospitality. As you come forward, there's two podiums here, and on them are sheets, and we're going to ask you, if you take an envelope, just to place your name on the sheet. Our auditors don't like us to just randomly give away money for some reason. So they just want a list of people who received the money. There's no strings attached to that. We're not going to follow up or anything like that. You are free to utilize that in whatever way that God moves your heart. Also, in a couple of those envelopes, there's actually a card that says that you get a free gift of a book, and that's Rosaria's book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key. I think you'll find that incredibly encouraging, and maybe after you read it, you can share that with someone as well. So, immediately following this, we're going to go with the offering, but right now, I invite you to come forward and to receive one of those envelopes. We have a lot of them, and we'd like to give them all away. So, please come up.